This morning we are beginning a three-part sermon series that I've titled Before the Bell Ring. It's a three-part series that deals with singleness, that deals with dating, and that deals with marriage. Now, for those who are sitting here this morning who are single, you say, oh, thank you, Jesus, this is what I need. And those who are married or dating might feel, oh, okay, there's going to be something for you in a sermon about singleness as well. So hold on to the next 3 weeks, because it might just impact your life in a new way that you did not think about before. As we look at God's Word, we will go through Song of Solomon and draw from what the Bible says about these three phases of our lives. And this morning I'm beginning with singleness, and simply because those who are not married yet or those who are not dating yet, if you are single, you're most likely looking for love. You're most likely looking to find that special someone that you can say, oh God, this is good. There's that focus on building a future. And when we come to the Word of God, we can see what wisdom the Word of God gives us, so that we can know how do we approach this phase of our lives. Even if you are married, you might notice that there might have been some things that you missed in your single days that God is reminding you of, that you can go back to dealing with those things. Because when we speak of relationships, we go back all the way to Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve. But before God created Eve, He saw Adam and He said that it is not good for man to be alone. And then God caused a deep sleep on Adam, and from his rib He created Eve, and He said, it's good. And it's just so beautiful, ladies, this morning, to tell you that you are the last thing that God created. And He said, it is good. So women truly are the crown of creation, because God created women last. It's just so awesome when we look at that. But during the single phase of your life, what we often do is we think of this as a limbo phase in our lives, that I'm just waiting until I meet someone, then life can begin. And that is, you're actually robbing yourself of potentially the best season of your life. Marriage is even better. I'm just saying that you are potentially robbing a very good season of your life by thinking that life only begins when you get married. That's not true. Life begins the day you meet your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you invite Him in and say, God, I want a relationship with You. That's when your life truly begins, not when you get married. But now in this phase of your life, we ask, what does God want to do in my life in the now? Because we are not living for, well, we are living for the future, but we are not living in the future. We are living in the now. We are sitting here in this morning on So 23 February in a school hall, hearing the Word of God. That is where we are now. Now, I want to take us to Song of Solomon 8, verse 8 to 14. And the best thing about reading Song of Solomon is to say that we are reading God's Word. And if there's something that sounds a bit something, just know we are reading from God's Word. It is God's Word. And it reads, and I'm going to read from verse 8 until the end, verse 14. And it says, we have a little sister, and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken for? Is she a wall? We will build on her a battlement of silver. But if she is a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. I was a wall, and my breasts were like towers. Then I was in his eyes as one who finds peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He let out the vineyard to keepers. Each one was to bring for its fruit 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, my very own, is before me. You, O Solomon, may have the 1,000, and the to keepers of the fruit 200. O you who dwell in the gardens with to companions listening for your voice. Let me hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. And you're going like, what on earth did we just read? Well, hang on. It's going to make sense very soon, because I want to draw points from the text. What we are reading, it is poetic language. It is Hebrew poetry. Solomon is writing to us wisdom about singleness, dating, and marriage. And he ends off Song of Solomon by focusing on a phase of singleness. And it is Hebrew poetry. So now we can go on and explore what on earth is he meaning by she is a wall. What does he mean by she's a door? Well, let's look at what it's saying. And I want to go to the NLT because I think it gives it into a language that we can more relate with in this day and age without having to dig into the Hebrew this morning. Verse 8 reads like this: we have a little sister too young to have breasts. So she is still young. And they are speaking about this girl. It is brothers speaking about their little sister who will grow up to be in a position to be married. And now they are asking, what will we do for our sister if someone asks her to marry her? That is what this verse is speaking about. It is saying that there is a reality in life where we will graduate towards wanting to marry someone. But it's speaking of, it asks her the question, what will we do for our sister if someone asks to marry her? So here they have this young sister who is single, not old enough yet to be married. So what will we do for her? And we can ask ourselves that, okay, in our single season, while we are not ready yet to be married, what do we do in this season? What do we do in this phase? And this brother says, well, it is a time to be prepared for marriage. So these brothers are asking, how can we help our sister become ready for marriage? And what can we do to be ready for marriage? In the single season, how do we make the best use of the season in our life? Because by God's will, you will only have it once. So how do I invest in this moment or the season in my life to get to a place of a healthy, God-fearing marriage? Because that's the future. These brothers, they are going to prepare her for the day someone asks for a hand in marriage. Now, hopefully the day when you find someone, men, and you see this beautiful woman and you realize that I want to spend my whole life with her, that you be ready to take that charge the day you make that choice. And ladies, the day a man goes on his knees to ask for your hand in marriage, you can say, I am ready for this next season in my life because I have been prepared for what is coming next. And then these brothers, they say, the next thing, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation again, and this is what it's saying in the Hebrew: if she is a virgin, like a wall, the wall is symbolism for if she is a virgin, if she is unmarried, we will protect her with a silver tower. We will protect her dignity. We will protect her virginity. So in our single season, it says that we need to keep what is meant for marriage sacred because the time is not right. So they build a wall around her to protect what is sacred, what is to be dignified. Because God's word tells us that there is a time and place for sex, and that is within marriage that God created. In the sanctity of His holiness, that's when it happens. So they are saying, if she's a virgin, like a wall, we will protect her with a silver tower. And then he says, but if she is promiscuous, if she's like a door, open to come and leave, that's what he draws on, we will block her door with a cedar bar. We will protect her so that no one can come and use her as they want. We are going to protect her dignity. Now for in our single season, it is almost like we are guarding something that is sacred in our lives. It's not something to be handed out. It's not something It is something to be protected like a wall. If she's pure, let's put up a wall. If she fell into promiscuity, let us help her out of it and close the door. Then in our singleness, we can draw from this and understand that when temptation comes, we can remind ourselves that, wait a minute. This is sacred for marriage. Let me protect myself. Let me dignify myself. Let me dignify the person that I'm in a relationship with by withstanding temptation and saying, this is meant for marriage. Let me protect myself. Let me keep myself sacred, because there will come a day when all you've been withholding can be unleashed. And that's the day when you say, I do. That's the day when the bells ring. That's the day when you're standing in front of someone that says, I now pronounce you husband and wife, and you can go on and have the most beautiful life there is to have. But in that season, while you're waiting to take that step, we as men and women of God need to grow in virtue. You're saying, I'm going to uphold godly values, even if it goes against the norm. We can go beyond speaking of just the sexual intimacy that is meant for marriage, but we can also speak of our character as men. We can ask ourselves in a season of singleness, what kind of man do I one day want to be for my wife? What kind of father do I one day want to be for my children? What kind of wife do I want to be for my husband? And what kind of mother do I want to be for my children? Those are things that would be very wise to have figured out while you are still single, that you can say that this is what God has put in my heart. This is what God has developed in me, so that when I get there, I am ready. I don't have to become ready when I get married. I'm ready to be married because I've laid my life down for God and I've said, God, your way. Come and do in me what you want to and need to do in me. Do I want to be an upstanding father? Do I want to be a loving husband? Well, what can I see now in my life that will prevent me from when I get there to cause me not to be a loving husband and a loving father? Same for ladies. How can I one day be who God is calling me to be? Because waiting until that day comes to begin working on it might cause unnecessary friction that can be sorted out now while you are single. Because when you're single, you can't hurt anyone when you go through ups and downs. When you're married and you go through ups and downs and God is busy changing and shaping your character, and you unleash anger in the house, you have to account for the damage that is done to your wife and children, or your husband and children. But while you are single and God is busy molding you and shaping you into who He is calling you to be, it's just you and God. It's just you and God. So if a virgin like a wall keeps sacred what needs to be kept sacred, if promiscuous, close the door. Just close the door. Say, God, I repent. I'm sorry for living a promiscuous life. Forgive me. Heal me. Set me free from my past. But from this day forward on, I'm closing the door. Closing the door. I'm saying, God, your way, not my way. And many people in the life we are living in, they will say, but living together before marriage, it's no big deal. Having sex so before marriage, it's no big deal. We see it in the movies, we see it in what we watch in series, we hear about it in songs. That is just, it's just something we can do, and it leaves no scars and no marks. But the songs don't tell you of the pain. Well, sometimes they do, but they don't tell you, I should not have lived this way to bring this pain on myself. The movies make a hero of someone who is living a promiscuous life, that as many men you can get, as many women you can get, then you're some kind of hero or seen as someone who has life figured out. No, they don't show you the pain and devastation that it leaves behind. It does not show you the brokenness and the depression of being used and mistreated. They don't show you that. They only show you what they want you to see. Because if they showed you the real picture of what the true reality is, maybe you would not be interested in watching it. Or buying the songs, or the, well, we don't buy CDs anymore, we just subscribe to a subscription and then we have it. But we still listen to it. But now, if you notice that there are three people speaking in this passage of scripture that we are dealing with. The first part was the brothers, were the brothers speaking, then it's the girl speaking, and then it's the young man speaking. So we see a progression. These brothers saying, what are we going to do to help prepare her for the day when someone asks her for marriage? But now we move from verse 10 and 11 and 12. Now it's the young woman speaking, but she's no longer someone without breasts. She has now matured and she's saying, I was a virgin like a wall. Now my breasts are like towers. When my lover looks at me, he is delighted in what he sees. One day there will be someone that's expressing interest in you, or you're expressing interest in someone, and it will just be, oh, all this infatuation and this feelings, and just look how handsome he is, or look how beautiful she is, and all our logical thinking goes out the door, and we're thinking, oh, now is the time to really enjoy life. Now I'm going to spend money I don't have. I'm going to buy clothes that I don't have, need, just to impress someone. Because, there's a guy, Chip Ingram, who used to do a series for us when we were young, love, sex, and everlasting relationships. And it was just so interesting the way that was explained, that the moment you fall in love, chemically in your brain, something goes haywire and you no longer think rationally. Have you ever fell in love and spent money you don't have just to buy something for someone to express them care? Don't raise your hands, because I know it has happened. It has happened. You don't have to say it. I know. I know. Just everything goes haywire, because we see the breasts like towers and the muscles of the men, and oh, just look how well built he is. He can play rugby, or maybe you like someone who does long distance running. There's no preference, but you like what you see and you're interested, and you're like, oh God, this is the one. And everything just goes haywire. And in that moment, it is now this young woman who has matured speaking, and she's saying, when the time is right, I will be the one that decides who I allow in. The allowing in assumes there's marriage, there's wedding bells and everything, that the time is now right. There was a time that was not right, where she was not mature enough, her brothers were speaking on her behalf. But now she's mature. She's now speaking on her own behalf, and she's saying, there's a guy, and he likes what he sees, and I think I like him too. That's what she's saying. And she acknowledges that he is delighting in what he sees. But then she goes on and she makes a comparison between two vineyards that I think gives us insight into what she is saying. Reading from the New Living Translation, she says in verse 11 and 12, Solomon has a vineyard at Baal Hamon. Now this place, Baal Hamon, the name Baal indicates Canaanite territory, or to Canaanite resemblance. And she's saying, on that vineyard, which is a farm where they grow vineyards, each of them pays 1,000 pieces of silver for harvesting its fruit. So now she's saying there's this vineyard, and anyone that's willing to pay the price can come and harvest this vineyard. The door is wide open. Anyone can come and abuse and use this vineyard any way they want, as long as they pay the price. In a relationship that is outside of God's will, someone always pays the price, and it is both of you. Because the hurt and the pain that comes from playing outside of God's design for our lives brings hurt and pain. And she's speaking about this vineyard that is not truly cherished. It's not cared for. It's just left abused. And she's saying, but my vineyard is mine to give. She's adding value to her vineyard. And we are speaking in symbolism. So that vineyard represents her whole self. She's not putting herself up for abuse. She's not putting herself up for the guy that drives a BMW and dresses in Louis Vuitton shoes to come in and do with her what she wants. No, my vineyard is mine to give. And Solomon need not pay 1,000 pieces of silver, but I will give 200 pieces to those who care for its vines. So we are faced with a decision. Are we going to be the vineyard that has never been loved, used and abused, or do we want to be the vineyard that is cared for, loved, respected? Used but never loved, or loved but never used. That's the contrast that she brings in saying that it is my vineyard to give, and I will decide who gets it. It cannot be bought. It cannot be persuaded. It is mine that I will give at the right time when it's God's time to who is worthy. And that is the thing. And then I will get back to a lot of what I'm saying, and I'm just moving through the text so that we can understand what we are reading, because we are reading Hebrew poetry from a long time ago and it's still relevant to us today. And now it's the young man speaking, and the young man comes and he says, oh my darling, lingering in the gardens, your companions are fortunate to hear your voice. Let me hear it too. He also wants to be in a life. He also wants to be there. And the young woman says, come away, my love. Be like a gazelle or a young stag in the mountains of spices. Have you ever seen a dog? It's normally these small dogs that they are just so excited to play outside. They just want to run. The best place for those dogs is on a farm where they can run until their legs give in, and then they can get up and run more. Think of that unleashment of when the time is right. And she's saying, be like a gazelle. Go and explore the mountains. Go enjoy, because now the time is right. The wedding bells have rung. But before that, we have some things that we need to deal with as single people. Well, you guys are single. I have a license saying that I'm not single. So, but for those who are single and those who are married, it's a message for all of us. Because have we made, for those who are married, did we make the best of our singleness? Did we truly give over to God to deal with everything? Or are we still carrying baggage from our single days that's not been dealt with? That we put into the marriage and we give to our wives and our children, and we say to them, you carry my luggage, because someone always pays a price. If there's things that God wanted to deal with you in your singleness that you have not dealt with, someone is paying that price. And it's not you, it's those around you. And if you are single, God is saying, this baggage might not help you when you get married. Let's deal with it. Now the question is, how do we deal with it? Because there is a future. There is a marriage. We all have a longing for a deeper connection that goes beyond friendship, companionship. If the creator of the universe looked at Adam and said, it is not good for man to be alone, let me make him a helper, then we can know that there is a longing. Because the most beautiful thing about marriage, the day you get there and when you are there now, it is a relationship between two people that is so intimate, there is no close second. There is no close second to the closeness between two people than marriage. And God ordained it and said, you will take a wife and you will begin your own life away from your parents. And when we step into that reality, we do have that longing. But how we handle our season of singleness will determine our future marriage. where while you are single, you are laying the foundation for your marriage. The choices you make, the people you date, the way you date them, you are laying the foundation for your future husband or your future wife. By saying, this is what I'm allowing in my vineyard. And one day you're going to pay the price for that. And the good news is, the best news is that God is so gracious that He comes and He puts everything into place. And He restores us and He heals us. He makes us new. That when we invite Jesus in, we are no longer a used vineyard. We are made new. But now we need to protect and cherish the newness that God gave us. What you do in your singleness matters because it will impact your future relationship. Even if you think it will not have an impact on your future marriage, as a married man, I can tell you, it does impact. And you would much rather deal with it while you are single than having to deal with it when you are married. It's a lot easier to deal with it when it's just you. While you are single, you are preparing yourself for marriage. You are preparing yourself for while you are dating and what you will allow. Am I going to allow people to treat me this way? Or am I going to say, no, I don't want to be treated that way. I'm not going to allow that. So while you are single, it's the best season for you to say, God, come and deal with me. Come and change my heart. Come and do in me what you need to do in me. Because this is something that you hear a lot from single people playing in the dating game. And sometimes you just get those people who are always dating someone. And every new person that they date, their whole personality changes, their identity changes. If you're constantly in a relationship, how are you going to ever get to know yourself? How are you going to ever get to know what you like and don't like? Because you're always with someone else. There needs to be a single of singleness. You can know that in your heart you are ready to be married when you can do the following. And I heard another pastor say this and I was like, yeah, this is, I'm going to use that. So I'm giving him credit. He said that you know you are ready to get married the day you can wake up in your own apartment, spend the whole day alone, watch a movie by yourself, go to bed and say, I had a good day. If you cannot do that, maybe you are not ready to be married. Because loneliness needs to be dealt with in singleness. If you are single and feeling lonely, then you have to say, God, come and deal with this loneliness. Because if you feel lonely while being single, you're going to feel lonely while being married. Because you cannot put that on someone and say, you must fulfill something that only God can deal with. Only God can take away our true loneliness. Yes, there is feeling alone. There's that sense of, I need people around me. I want to fellowship. I need companionship. But there's a deep-rooted core loneliness that I'm speaking about. Not the longing for friendships and relationship that call loneliness. Because if you don't deal with it in singleness, it's going to carry over in marriage. And it sucks to deal with it there. But you hear many people say that I am praying for the right wife. I'm praying for the right husband. How about you pray, God, make me the right person. And just focus on yourself. Because sometimes you find people, and it's not you guys, it's other people, I know. But I'm going to speak about them anyway, that think that they are so perfect that when they meet someone, the other person owes it to them to be nice because they are such a gift. I think Philippians says, don't count yourself higher than anyone else because Christ, Jesus, laid His life down. He humbled Himself. But we think because we have a bank balance or certain skills, we can come into relationships and demand people to appreciate us for that. No, don't. Because you are you. You are you. And then those people, not you guys, those people say, I am waiting for the perfect wife or I'm waiting for the perfect husband. Well, let's think through this logically and bear with me. If you want to have a perfect husband or a wife, you need to be a perfect husband or a perfect wife. But you cannot be a perfect husband or a perfect wife if you're not married. So what are you looking for? only once you have perfected being a perfect husband or a wife, then you can maybe say, which will never happen, then you can maybe say, I'm looking for a perfect husband or a wife. But while you are single, sorry, you don't know what you're talking about. Marriage is incredibly, incredibly hard. But it is also incredibly, incredibly blessed. Marriage will challenge you to the very core of your being, and it will bless you out of your socks that you will go to bed sometimes saying, God, how did I ever get this lucky? It's this mix. And another pastor told me once, and he said, marriage is perfect sanctification. Because if you're single, no one's going to have an issue with you not cleaning up after yourself. But when you're married, someone might not like that, and now you have to change. And I have to change because I made a commitment to God. And now it's like, I want to drink my bowl of cereal without having a spoon. And I want to leave my cups lying around. I can't do that if it upsets someone else. So it's that, and this is just light stuff. There are more difficult stuff out there, like looking for perfection is never the goal. Looking for holiness is. And only in Jesus can we find that holiness. Know this, that marriage cannot bring the ultimate fulfillment for longing of the human heart. Only a relationship with God can do that. If you need someone in your life to feel loved, then the problem is not singleness. It's between you and God. There's a void in your life that only God can heal and deal with. If you are looking for a relationship that will fulfill you, you will be disappointed, because that's a lot to put on another person. It's a lot. You are saying, another human, fallen human being must come and do for me what only God can do. It's impossible. What God can do is possible. He can come and fill that hole and make you whole. So how do I make the most, well, not me, how do you make the most of your singleness? You have to put some steps into place. You have to put some things. You have to put some intentionality about it. You say, step one is you deal with what God needs to deal with. That baggage, that luggage you are carrying around, deal with it. If you're married and you've not dealt with it, there's a step for you too. If you're dating and you've not dealt with it, that's a step for you too. Deal with what God needs to deal with. If there's anything in your life that you know will be unhealthy for your marriage, bring it before God and ask God to deal with it. And ask God to show you areas of your life that needs to change. Because this is single season is the season where you can truly get to grips with your relationship with God. There's no husband or wife that you need to consider if you want to do a week fast or a 24-hour prayer or go on a mission trip for I don't know how long. But when you're married, you have responsibilities. Step one is deal with what God needs to do. Step two is grow in your relationship with God. Form part of your church family while you are waiting for your godly family or for your own family. Work on the foundation of your future. Start building a future for yourself while you are waiting to find someone. Don't wait until you find someone and then you want to enroll in studies and then you want to start a business and then you want to do this and that. Do it now while you wait. Because here's the thing, men. Women want to join your adventure. But if you're not an adventure, it's not very... What must they follow? You are showing them, this is a life that God is calling me to. And women, I'm not a woman, so I cannot speak, but I've read books that says that men should be on an adventure and women wants to join that adventure. The woman the girl you date or the woman you marry, woman singular that you marry, cannot be your adventure. She's the passenger for your adventure. She's not the adventure. That's also a lot of pressure to put on someone. So work on the foundation for your future. Number four, singleness does not mean loneliness. Singleness does not mean loneliness. Allow God to come and deal with the loneliness that is there. Number five, make the most of your singleness. Go on a holiday. Go to the movies by yourself. Enjoy life for where you are and enjoy it. And enjoy it. And if you're already married and you realize that something was shared this morning that you missed out on in your single season, ask God, God, what do you want to deal with? What do you want to show me, God? And ask God to speak to you and say, God, I repent of my past life. And God, I invite you in to come and deal with what you need to come and deal with so that I can be who you've called me to be. Because here's the most beautiful thing, that we cannot speak about relationships without acknowledging that God created relationships. But there's an ultimate that we look forward to. When we read through the Bible, we hear words like, we are the bride of Christ. When we are the bride of Christ, it means that there will one day be a wedding, and that wedding will be in heaven when we go to heaven. Because we are the body of Christ, and that is the beauty of it all, that one day we will get to be with Jesus. And the perfect will be before us. On earth, we just get to have a resemblance of marriage. We just get a resemblance of what God ultimately is going to do in heaven. That there will be a wedding celebration the day we enter. Because Jesus came into the world, and God loved the world so much that He gave His Son so that we can be reconciled back to God. There is an eternal perspective when it comes to relationships. That as we are passing through this life, there's an ultimate bride and groom that will be reconciled. A love story that finds its closing at the end of the age, when we get reconciled back to God in heaven. As we are longing for a deeper connection that can only be fulfilled by God, know this, that Jesus paid the price because He loves you and He's waiting for you to say, I respond, and you begin the ultimate love story. Just put it in those words. It's your relationship with God. If that is not rock solid, you're going to struggle in your singleness. You're going to struggle in your dating life, and you're going to struggle in your marriage. So if there's one thing to bring focus to this morning, is asking, where am I with God? Am I experiencing His love, or are there things I'm dealing with that prevents me to deal with that? Because only when I find that love in my heart and that loneliness is dealt with, can I say, I'm half ready to get married. And the rest is God's grace. The rest is God's grace. Because it's two fallen people that decide to do life together, and they invite God in to come and do something in them. And there will be some difficulties, but there will always also be beauty and holiness. Let us pray. Father, I thank You that we can know that the ultimate wedding celebration will be the day we enter into heaven. And Father, I just want to bring every person before me, before You this morning, and I want to pray, Father, that where there's loneliness, I pray that You will bring healing. Where there's a sense of feeling lost, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will come and fill and heal and bring restoration, that we can know that in You we are whole, in You we find our being, because Jesus, You gave Yourself so that we can be free, be reconciled back to You, God. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. If you are sitting here this morning and you're saying that I've never had the opportunity to say, Jesus, I accept You as Lord and Savior. Just in this moment, I want you to pray after me. Say, Jesus, You are Lord of my life. I give myself over to You. And Jesus, You are King of my life. And I give my life over to You. I invite You, Jesus, to come into my life, to bring healing and restoration, Thank you that you gave yourself on the cross, that I am now before God forgiven, that I am now forgiven for my past life. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. If that was the first time that you prayed that prayer this morning, why don't you just come and speak to me and my wife there at the back, V, she's sitting there. Just come and speak to us. But I bless you in the name of Jesus. May it go well with your soul. If you need prayer or a word from God, we are here for you. Be blessed. Have a good Sunday and an awesome week. Amen.